This week on the show, big weekend for both the Bruins and the Celtics. We recap, plus which sports fan base isn't getting its due. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Welcome in to another episode of Calling It. My name is Alex Barth. Across the table from me, as always, is Alex Lebowitz. We are back in studio this week after taking last week off. It is the March 5th edition, and can you believe this? After we record the show, I'm going to call a baseball game.
Yeah.
In Boston on March 5th.
Who would have thought, especially given the storm we had this past weekend? Do you have power in your house yet?
I had it, and then I lost it for most of Saturday night, oddly enough. I had it throughout the storm, went out for like 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday night, I lost it at like 6 o'clock, right at the start of the Bruins game. Ugh. So I had to go elsewhere to watch the Bruins and Celtics. Got it back at like 3 a.m., and then I lost it for a couple hours yesterday afternoon, too, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that stinks. We were completely fine on the North Shore. Got to watch the Bruins, got to watch the Celtics, and it was windy. It wasn't too bad.
I won't lie. I kind of underestimated it in that this is New England. If it's not snowing, it's not a real nor-nor'easter.
Yeah.
Who cares? There was some damage.
Oh, yeah.
There was some damage. That was not a storm to take lightly. Although, if it had been snowing, I mean, they say that and I don't know how accurate this is, but I've heard this said before.
10 inches for every inch of snow.
I've heard a foot to an inch. But, yeah, so we got 3 inches of snow. So you were looking at 3 inches of rain. So you're looking at 2.5-3 feet of snow.
Yeah.
If it had been a little colder.
That would have been brutal. Thank God it was not below 32 degrees out.
That would have been something. That would have been an all-time storm.
Yep, but we're through it. I feel like spring's right around the corner. It's been really warm.
I felt like that, and then I woke up this morning, there was snow on the ground.
I had that, too. You never know. There's the old cliche, you got to wait 5 minutes and the weather will change. But I think we're in the clear. I think once college basketball
comes around, there's another nor'easter Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Like snow?
I think like both. Rain-snow mix.
As long as it melts, I'm fine.
Right, you're saying we're in the clear.
I think we're in the clear for like another monstrous snowstorm. And we get one, yeah. I feel like we're right around the corner of having like 50s consistently.
See, last year I called a baseball game around the same time. I think it was, what's today, the 5th? I think it was the 6th. And I got really cocky and I wore shorts and a polo. Just because I was like, oh, it's baseball season. And,
yeah.
I do games a couple of places, but UMass Boston is where this game is. If you're not familiar, that's right on the harbor. If you know where the gas tank is on 93, the field is literally next door. So the wind, it can be 50 degrees out, but it's going to feel 20 on the field with the wind. So last year I got really cocky and froze my nuts off. So this year, I mean, I got the sweater on, I got the jeans, I got the heavy coat. I'm not messing around this year. I'm not going to let baseball season entrap me into a false sense of spring.
Yeah, it's always a tough thing, especially we had like 2 or 3 days. It was like 70 degrees in February.
Miss it.
And it was great. And I went to the
golf expo this weekend.
Really?
And that has me itching. I bought a putter. And now I want to use it, and I woke up, and there's snow this morning.
Got to go virtual golf. That's the route.
My buddy almost said top three on the simulator, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But he's like one of these like workout nuts that only does it for the appearance, not for the health benefits. So doesn't do leg day or any of that. And I'm standing there watching him do it, and he hits, I think, like 320. And he listens to the show, and he's going to give me so much hell for saying this. But I hear the guy next to me say to his buddy, what is this guy, like 65% arms?
That's a good one. That's a good
one. But anyway, I did not attempt the simulator. I would not have gotten. I didn't go like 260. We still got to play. We still got
to
play after
the show.
Yeah,
we've been trying to do that for like a year.
As soon as we can, man. I need to get out there. I'm itching.
Just get ready. I slice it every single shot.
And I always
you gotta,
hit the ball way far to the right,
yeah.
So I just aim left. I could fix my swing.
It's like Caddyshack. It's brutal. But my shot goes backwards.
We'll have to figure. I need to get out there. I really, and we have a Masters show coming up. Masters is coming up, so that even more. Like I watched the World Golf Championships down in Mexico yesterday. Justin Thomas was amazing. I think he's in for a big Masters.
Another thing that I do, me and my buddies, we've brought back Tiger Woods 09. Not to change subject, but Tiger Woods 09. That's a great one. That also gets you.
Oh, I was playing a little. I have Tiger Woods 13.
Yeah,
that's the last one he was on. I was playing that over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting on that game is just so hard. Like, I get to the hole, I have a chance to eagle, and then I four-putt.
You need the preview. You need the preview, that's for sure.
Even with the preview stuff. All right, on to what we actually wanted to talk about today. Although that will be good for the search tags. We can throw a couple extra tags on there, get some more listeners, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Big sports weekend in Boston. This felt like kind of one of those, Boston dominated. Look, we had the Super Bowl, but that's one event. This was probably the first big Boston sports day of the year. You know, when you have like numerous things going on. What do you got? Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, Red Sox, the marathon mm-hmm. Monday is always a big one. You know, those kind of days where you just get to soak in the fact that Boston's the greatest sports city in the country.
Oh yeah.
Right. And this felt like the first one of the calendar year. You had Red Sox, Yankees, albeit spring training. You had, Bruins, Canadians, the big rivalry, Celtics, Rockets, obviously two of the top teams in the NBA. You also had Duke UNC, which isn't a Boston thing, but it was just a great all around sports mm-hmm. day. And Grayson Allen cost me my parlay. But that's another story for another time. If I were a gambler, he would have cost me my parlay.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Correct that.
But let's start. Let's go chronologically. Let's start with the Bruins and the Habs. Bruins take this one 2-1 in overtime. They didn't score until I think there were like under 10 minutes left in the game. Tied it up, won in overtime. After their big offensive win over Pittsburgh, 8 goals against the Penguins, they've won 3 in a row. I still think they're the hottest team in hockey. But things are starting to get a little concerning. Mm-hmm. And things are starting to happen at the wrong time. You had Patrice Bergeron get hurt with a fractured foot, which I would not be surprised if Patrice Bergeron only misses 2 weeks with a broken foot, given the guy's history. But, you know, still a good player. Still a big loss. Charlie McAvoy, at the time we're recording this, we don't know what's up with him, but it was a non-contact lower body injury. And then you had Tuukka Rask bow out at the last minute of the Montreal game, and he's run from the Canadiens in the past. And as good as he's been, last 5 games he's played, save percentage under 90. And I know you're not a big Rask guy. I said it throughout the run, look, Tuukka Rask is playing incredibly well, but he's streaky, and the other shoe's going to drop. Is the other shoe dropping?
I think it's a fatigue problem. You get to this point of the year, and he's overworked. They've been playing really well, and he's a guy who's been a huge part of that. I think this is kind of the dog days of the season, and you're waiting for the playoffs to come around. You're just trying to finish out strong, and they've been playing well. I think he's tired. I think he's tired at this point, and it's the type of thing where you're going to have to rely on Khudobin to pick up the slack and start to give Rask some time off. He's been playing well. I don't think this is really a performance issue as much as it's fatigue for him.
And I mean, I'd like to see Khudobin more. He's been good. He was great against Montreal.
Yeah.
Excellent against Montreal. But they got an interesting schedule coming up. You got Detroit is a game you can, you know, I wouldn't hate if they threw Khudobin out there back to games. If Rask really is dealing with a minor injury,
mm-hmm.
give him the extra day of rest. Give him rest on Tuesday. Philly on Thursday is a huge game.
Yeah.
Rask better be back for that. He better be good for that. And, I mean, they kind of go back and forth. They got a home and home with Chicago, Carolina, and then they play the 2 Florida teams. And that's a 4-game road trip. Chicago, Carolina, Florida, Tampa. That's a week on the road. They have anytime you play Tampa, that's a tough game. And they want to capture that one seed. If they want to catch up to Tampa, that's going to be huge. Florida's a borderline playoff team. Carolina gave them trouble last time out. Right, that overtime game McAvoy had the winner. They got a relatively tough schedule coming up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd like to see Khudobin, but now is kind of not the time for Rask to say I need some extra rest. Even down the stretch here, they get back from that road trip. Columbus, St. Louis, Dallas, Minnesota, Winnipeg, Tampa Bay, Florida. So yeah. You got to figure Khudobin in there somewhere, but those are tough. It's not like the Celtics. The Celtics, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, they have a cakewalk schedule from now till the end of the season. Bruins still have some hockey to play, especially since there's really no favorite. They still need to, or somebody still needs to, establish themselves as the favorite going into the playoffs. The Bruins have just as good of a chance as anybody, but they got a tough schedule. They're without their best player, their second best defenseman, and now their goalie's banged up.
And you also have Tampa Bay, who picked up McDonough, which is all, we never really got around to that. That's also huge. So,
that's right. That happened right after we recorded the show last week.
So you counter that in. It seems like there is a favorite. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning. And in this upcoming road trip that's going to start on Sunday, that's the fourth game, the last game on a week-long road trip. And you're talking about a team that's already battling with fatigue issues and injuries. What's McAvoy's status going to be then? What's Patrice Bergeron's status going to be then? And is Rask going to be healthy and rested? It's going to be tough. There are a lot of teams on this road trip, like the Blackhawks and the Hurricanes. Not top-tier teams, but it's still a long road trip with a team that's banged up. in a crucial point in the season where you got to have leverage coming into the playoffs.
See, I don't think Bergeron comes back until March 19th. That's when they return home from the road trip. They have – I'm looking at a schedule right now. They play 8 on the road out of 9 games.
Yeah.
They are 4 on the road, back against Columbus, 4 more on the road, and then 2 at home to finish up. That's just brutal.
Oh, yeah.
This could end up being a limp to the finish. Although, look, I think they're locked into a top they're not going to be a wild card team.
No, definitely
not. They're going to be a divisional team. So, look, maybe you do rest up. Maybe you do just kind of say, look, we'll take the divisional spot, and we need to get healthy, and you give Brian Gionta, Tommy Wingles, those guys more minutes. But as encouraging as the season it's been, it still feels like this last month here is going to be crucial.
It's going to be tough. You mentioned it. It's a limp to the finish line. It definitely is crucial with positioning. They're not the President's Cup trophy. They're not going to win the President's Cup.
I don't want them to. I don't want them to win the President's Cup. That team never wins the championship.
You're on the Murphy team with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, and I get that. But this is a team that is in a good position. They do have a luxury in a sense that they can rest players that they need to rest. Again, the most important guy coming down the stretch in regard to that is Khudobin, so that Rask can be healthy come playoff time. For the Bruins to have the slightest chance at contending for a Stanley Cup in this upcoming playoffs, Tuukka Rask needs to play out of his mind. And half of that's going to come from him being healthy coming into the playoffs. And right now that's an issue. I don't think it's a major issue. I think they'll get past it. But it's an issue nonetheless. And that needs to be a priority moving forward. That specifically. McAvoy, they can mask that. Bergeron, especially with the pickup of Nash, they can mask that for the time being.
Yeah, they can mask that now, not in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs. Okay. Rask is the guy that you need to rest heading into April.
Yeah, I think I've talked about on the show before, one of the biggest differences between Cassidy and Julian is that Cassidy was doing a good job of managing Rask, and I think Rask got so hot that he just had to keep playing him. Mm-hmm. Now you need to kind of make up for it. We should see Khudobin a good amount here down the stretch. Look, they don't need the President's Trophy. I don't even need them to be the one seed in the East. I don't think they need to be the way the hockey playoffs work, because the playoff format is a disaster in the NHL. They just need to get in healthy. They need to get in with a little bit of momentum. If you want to rest Rask here, give him every other game, 2 of every 3. I'm totally okay with that. I don't need to be overloaded. I will say, though, he needs to be a net against Tampa. They got, I think, two games left against Tampa, including the second to last game of the year. He needs to be a net in both of those Tampa Bay games.
I agree. But leading up to that Tampa Bay game, if he plays half of them in that road trip, I would have no problem
with it. I'm fine
with
that. All right. Other team in the Garden, Celtics. Maybe the game of the year over the weekend. You want to get into that?
Let's do it.
Let's get into that on the other side. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Callin' It. Alex Barth, Alex Lebowitz. We are powered by CLNS. You can check out their new website, clnsmedia.com. Follow them on Twitter at CLNS Media. Give us a follow as well if you're not already at Callin' It Podcast. So we got to the Bruins. That was the appetizer, and it was a fun one.
Yep.
For those of us who had power, maybe even listening on the old transistor radio. Then we got the main course, and what a main course it was. That Celtics-Rockets game. And look, it didn't turn out in the Celtics' favor, and we'll get into that in a second. But how sick of you, I'm not sick of you. We've been doing the show for a year. I'm not sick of you yet. How sick are you of Cavs Warriors? What do we need to do as basketball fans? Who do we need to sell our soul to get a Celtics Rockets finals? That game and both the games this year were as good as the NBA can get.
Yeah, let's go a step further, because obviously we're a Boston based show. Let's do seeds 1 through 16, and how about we have the Rockets and the Warriors meet in the finals? Because I think that's what everyone really wants. Those seem to
be... I'm so done with the Warriors.
Obviously, I am too, but they are the best. You can't deny it.
But they're not even fun to watch anymore. It's not like I'm done with them, like, oh, they're so good. Like, Look, the Cavs I was done with because they always win, but I still have fun watching. Well, I had fun watching the Cavs. Not much anymore.
Well, because they're not perfect. They're not this, like, super team. Right. They have struggles.
No,
there's a storyline
there. I just had
there.
Fun, like, when LeBron first went back to Cleveland. Uh-huh. They were fun to watch. Now, it's kind of tired. Golden State's not fun to watch anymore because you know they haven't changed at all. It's the same thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. Everyone's just taking cuts in their contract to keep that team intact, and it's predictable at this point. It's not there's no more like we're witnessing the best basketball team ever. That's all gone. It's just yeah, they're good. They're the most talented team. It's kind of cheap, but it is what it is. I can see that.
But Celtics Rockets that game Saturday night.
Yeah.
123-120.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, and this is a sports cliche I'm not always a fan of, the game was closer than the score indicated, right? You hear that said a lot. It was a three-point game, and somehow the game was closer than the score indicated. It really was.
It was, yeah, especially in that fourth quarter. It was very – the Celtics had the lead for a lot of it. And you
but no team at any point in that game, no double-digit lead.
Yeah.
How often you never see that in the NBA.
It was a great matchup. I mean, these two teams, and it was like that last time they met, if I'm not mistaken. It was an awesome game between two great teams. One definitely more talented than the other, but they're both competitive. And they didn't disappoint. When you have a team in Celtics that goes to Houston to try to beat the second best team in the NBA, in my opinion, and they put up a fight like that, it's always great. And that's with a couple guys. Really not showing up.
Yeah, especially in that fourth quarter. Kyrie Irving took two shots,
mm-hmm.
and only one. The second shot came with 8 seconds to go. They were both layups in the arc. Kyrie disappeared in that fourth quarter. And I said it, remember at the beginning of the year when they lost those first two games? And that seems like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I remember saying, and I'm pretty sure it was on the show, that where Kyrie Irving left Cleveland because he wanted to be the superstar. He wanted to be the guy. And he didn't really do much in those first two games in the fourth quarter. And I said, well, he needs to show up and show me something. Now, he's absolutely done that. And I do not doubt him as a fourth quarter closer. But I was a little concerned to see him disappear again against that team. That's the game, Kyrie. Look, I would fault him less. If he wants to take 20 shots in the fourth quarter, I'd rather him overshoot in the fourth quarter than only take two. Maybe that's just me. I would honestly rather see hero ball from Kyrie, especially the way he's played the last couple games. That shot... at the shot clock buzzer against Charlotte. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'd rather see hero ball at this point from him than just two shots in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the game you expect him to come out and perform well, especially when you consider the fact that he's going up against Harden, probably the best guard in the NBA, and Chris Paul, who's a future Hall of Famer. You want him to show up in that game, and he didn't. And you got to give them credit because they did take him out of that game to an extent. He was, what, 6-for-17 from the field?
Yeah.
And it allowed guys like Smart and Terry Rozier to come out and play really well.
The bench was awesome.
The bench was, and that's the most frustrating part of the loss. The bench actually played out of their mind.
Everybody on the bench scored more than any of the starters.
No, Marcus Smart.
Did Smart not? I thought Smart caught up to Kyrie.
He only had 11. So,
oh, because Kyrie had the free throws late. That's right.
But Morris, Monroe, and Rozier were all unbelievable. So they got a great effort, but yeah, Kyrie, where was he? Where was Horford, the all-star?
He's got what, 36 points since the all-star break?
I think he's averaging something like 7 points.
It's seven
per game.
Something. Yeah, he hasn't been, and he had a good game against the Knicks. He actually did, but outside of that, it's 1-for-7 from the field, 1-for-9. I think there's a 2-for-7 in there. He needs to show up. Even Jimmy Stewart, the producer of the Felger and Mattis Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub, the biggest Al Horford guy there is. He tweeted this morning, he's done defending Al.
Yeah.
And if average Al loses him, he's lost the city.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lose hope on him yet. I think there's just a slump coming out of the All-Star break for whatever reason. But it's not good because he's a guy who's your defensive anchor, and he's a huge part of that offense as well. He's one of your most important players because he's so versatile, and he wears so many hats. If he's going 4-for-12 from the field and only scoring 10 points, that's not enough. You need more production
from
that
guy. And he had that wide open three that he just bricked.
Yeah.
And that was to seal the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And that happened a couple times where he had open looks and just couldn't convert. That's rough. You can't have that from him. I don't think it's going to last that long. I think it's just a really rough stretch. A lot of players go through it. but it deserves criticism. And you see a lot of people, a lot of Celtics beat guys, who don't really like to criticize Al Horford, don't really like to criticize anyone on that team. But you wish that, you know, it would get more attention, because it's not right. A good thing. I don't know. You have Monroe, who stepped up. If Monroe doesn't step up, or Marcus Morris, they're getting crushed in that game. And they're not going to do that every night. You need consistency from Horford.
But I think we can see solid contributions from those two guys more often than not. I think Monroe kind of went understated as how big of a signing that was. Because what he did what he's done since he got to Boston, that's what they've been lacking the last couple of years, just kind of that bully underneath. They tried it with Amir Johnson. Aaron Baines has been good this year, but you know, he gets in foul trouble a lot.
Only played 12 minutes.
Right. Now you have a good alternate to Aaron Baines and Greg Monroe, and you can kind of stick with that guy on the floor for 48 minutes. We talked about a little bit with the Bruins, and you mentioned Al Horford, so maybe he needs rest. I would like to see them start resting some guys at this point, especially Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kyrie, frankly. Those three guys, Kyrie's got the injury history. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, I mean, Brown last year, but for the most part, they've never played more than 35 games in a season coming out of college. I would really like to see those guys start to get some rest. Look, Celtics are an elite team. They can start acting like it. They got about a month left, and the back end of their schedule, I mean, that you want to talk about tough games. Let's run through this real quick. At Chicago, easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
At Minnesota, we'll count that as half a tough game. Home against Indiana.
Yep.
Yeah, easy. Washington's a tough game. At Orlando, at New Orleans, those are easy. Home against Oklahoma State's kind of tough. Another team that's really on the road a lot in the back half. Then they have a West Coast road trip. At Portland, should be easy. At Sacramento, cakewalk. At Phoenix, at Utah, please. And then they do have a tough game at the end of the year. Their last game at home against Toronto. And that game could be interesting. But, again, kind of cakewalk schedule down the back here. More often than not, I'd be fine if they start resting some of these starters.
Absolutely. And you mentioned it. A guy like Tatum. This is his first year in the NBA. He hasn't played more than 40 games in a season. So he's going to start hitting that wall.
I will say, though, he was great against Houston on
he
his
was.
20th birthday.
Yeah, 20th. God, what am I doing in my life? He was very good, and he's a guy that you need in the playoffs. So he's someone who needs to stay rested. Kyrie Irving, the obvious, and Al Horford, another one. They only played four deep, or nine players in that game against Houston. That's not going to be the way it goes down the home stretch. So I look for Tice, look for Ogilvy, all these guys to get more minutes. Larkin, so I don't think that's going to be much of an issue. I think they're going to start playing deeper these last few games, and come playoff time. I mean, the reality is the Cavaliers are going to be more tired than the Celtics,
right?
So I'm not too concerned. I'm more concerned about individual players like an Al Horford, because just like Tuukka Rask, as we mentioned, health could be playing a factor. He could be hitting that wall.
So let's tie it all together here real quick before we wrap this up. Bruins and Celtics. I was sitting around the other day, and this possibility dawned on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we will get some matinees in the playoffs this year. And there's nothing better, you know, mid-spring matinee. It's finally nice out. You got hockey at 3, basketball at 7. Get the grill going. Good for a little day drinking of lemonade, of course.
Yes.
But what are the chances that we get, and I'm trying to think of the term for it, because I don't think there's a term. Let's call it a carryover series. And there's two situations where this could happen. In the first round between Boston and Philadelphia, or in a later round between Boston or Toronto. Now, the first round between the NBA and NHL playoffs don't line up. It does later on. It could happen in the conference championship. But in the first, let's say that you get Celtics Sixers and Bruins Flyers happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Boy, would that be a lot of fun. Especially with the carryover of the Super Bowl.
Oh, God. I don't want to deal with Philadelphia more than I have to.
No, that would be... Think about it. First of all, I don't know what they would do scheduling. They would have to somehow... One of the leagues would have to take an extra day off, because the NHL is not going to want to play a full round of playoff games at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or you could be going literally in the morning, Boston, and then at night in Philly, and back and forth, right, between the two cities, which would be awesome. Think about how much fun that would be. Every single day, two sports between the two same cities.
That'd be great. I personally know it would be a better storyline if it was Philadelphia and Boston. I think it would be better series if it was Boston and Toronto.
Well, I mean, those are the better teams.
Yeah.
And that would be more of a conference final scenario. You could realistically have both. That one would also line up better because at that point, the NHL starts their playoffs earlier, but they have more off days. At that point, the NHL is going to be caught up. But think about how much fun that would be. Think about, especially that at that point, you're in what, May? You're in early, mid-May?
Yeah. And Boston should win both those series. Boston, the Celtics, and the Bruins.
I don't know. The Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews, man.
Well, I'm talking about with Philadelphia, definitely, with Toronto even. I think the Maple Leafs would be tough. Both series would be really tough. I think they should win them, though.
Let us coin a term right now, because I haven't seen one. Let us coin a term for what that is. Is it a carryover series?
A carryover series.
Is it a dual series? I need a term for this before I walk out of the studio today. I can't think of a better, like, because I can't remember that ever happening in my lifetime between any two cities.
Well, those are the only playoffs
going on at the same time.
Those are the only playoffs that line up. So it would have to be NHL, NBA, Chicago, some Chicago.
But I can't remember it ever happening where two cities are playing each other at the same time in two different sports in a playoff series.
Another problem, like if you look at Chicago, the Blackhawks are in the Western Conference, the Bulls are in the Eastern Conference. That's not going to work out.
Well, no, because you have, I don't know if there's another city that's split like that. There is.
I can't think of one off
the top
of my
head. Look, it realistically could happen. Think about it. You could have New York play... New York play any New York, Boston, New York, Philly.
Yeah,
New
back
York,
a couple
DC.
Years ago it was Celtics Knicks, but there wasn't. It wasn't.
That was, but it wasn't at the same time as Bruins Rangers or Bruins Islanders. So we'll have a term for it. But look, through my realizations, I need to see that now. Now that I've realized that's a possibility,
we'll do a Twitter
I need
poll.
That like I need air to breathe.
Well, let's brainstorm. We'll come up with some names for it, and maybe we can copyright it, make some money, sell some merch.
I'm down for that. All right. On the other side, a whole smorgasbord of stuff that happened over the weekend. We're going to have some fun with that. Keep it here. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Alex Barth and Alex Leibowitz. Another Monday from Callin' It. I guess a victory Monday for the Bruins. We got to stop doing that after the Patriots.
I think it's a football season specific.
Doesn't really feel much like there's going to be a victory Monday till the Patriots actually win again. But they're getting a step closer after the combine. Some good stuff.
Yeah. The combine's looking. I enjoy it. We were talking about this off air. I'll just turn it on. Like there's nothing on TV. Let's watch this 310-pound guy run a 4.8 40-yard dash. I want to see that.
So, I mean, I feel like we're being hypocrites because didn't we do a segment over the summer kind of blasting the NBA fanboys for liking Summer League?
It's so much different because
it's really, here's the thing. It's not. It's actually, if anything, it's if I'm looking at this from the point of casual sports fan, you know, I just watch the games, whatever. Summer League is actual basketball. Combine is, as Michael Lange from CLNS calls it, the T-shirt and underwear Olympics.
I think NFL prospects are a higher grade of physical specimen than NBA prospects. So it goes back to the fact that you have a guy who's 300 pounds who runs faster than like a running back. Like Myles Garrett doing the combine, in my opinion, was like must-watch television.
I love the combine. I do. I don't think you can learn much from it, honestly. I put more stock in the pro days than the combine.
Yeah.
Because, look, for certain positions, yeah, offensive line, you know, bench press, 40, cone drill, all that, you're going to learn a lot. But when it comes to quarterbacks, it's such a different position from team to team. When the teams can actually get a hold of them individually and have them do certain things that they specifically want them to do, you're going to learn more, right?
Absolutely.
Seeing Josh Rosen throw that 70-yard pass off the back foot and hit his receiver in stride, I was aroused. That was incredible. That was awesome. I love seeing that. But, I want to see him doing more team-oriented drills. I'm going to learn more from that. I know Rosen can make that throw. I've seen him do it in college.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm honestly surprised he's throwing at the combine. Most years, the top quarterbacks don't even throw. So, while I enjoy that, the pro day tells me more for those skill position guys.
You know what it is for me? I'll admit, I have a personal bias. I just, NBA fanboy, it's an NBA fanboy.
Oh, no, I have a total bias like against the NBA. Look, I'm an NFL fanboy, yeah. And I'll admit that.
But the difference is NFL people, fans who prefer NFL over NBA are not condescending. Like, NBA writers and fans, a lot of them that I know personally, they're very condescending about their knowledge. And it's just like, shut up. We get it. You like this sport. Stop acting like you're this all-knowing figure about the NBA and basketball. It's annoying.
Can I add to that? And this isn't the conversation I thought we were going to have, but I'm perfectly fine having this right now. And I think we've talked about this before a little bit. Maybe I talked about this before you joined the show. Right, they're the basketball fans. Like, basketball is the purest game in the world. This is the greatest sport. There's nothing better than the last couple minutes. Right, those people who are so ingrained. The Bill Simmons, what's his name? Just got fired from Barstool. Michael Rapaport. Those guys who are just like, oh, basketball is so pure. Then you have the baseball people who are like, there's no better game than baseball. America's pastime. They're watching spring training games religiously, right? You have the hockey fans. There's nothing like the Stanley Cup playoffs. They call it the beautiful game, right? There's nothing better than this sport. It's so pure. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist with football.
No.
Which pisses me off because football is the best sport.
It is.
And people dismiss football. Like, somebody tweeted the other day, baseball's heading towards a labor dispute. What idiots. And I'm like, I responded, you want me to worry about truck day being delayed in 2021 when the NFL is going to get canceled in 2020? And they said, good riddance. Imagine if you said good riddance to any other of the top four sports leagues, the outlash that would have on Twitter. But nobody cares about the NFL. Can we start the NFL fanboy movement? Because it should exist. Just the game of football itself. I can sit down and watch an arena football game, watch a Canadian football game. You know damn well I'm going to be watching the XFL, which we haven't talked about, by the way, which we will get to at some point when we have time this summer. I call D3 football. It's part of what I do for my job. I love D3 football. You do as well, right? You came up on D3 football. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing to watch a D3 football game, but... When I'm in the booth calling MIT football, I genuinely enjoy that. Mm-hmm. It is a great game. It's a lot of fun. You can get invested. It all makes sense. You can understand it on a philosophical level, just like any of the other sports. These people who are watching spring training games because baseball's back and I need my fix, and then lambast me for wanting to watch the NFL preseason, your sport is boring.
Yeah.
Baseball is boring, and you're going to watch... Guys who aren't going to crack rosters do it, and you're going to give me crap for doing it for football, which is, on the surface, a lot more exciting?
So let's make some – I covered high school football this past fall.
I love high school football.
And high school football is also great.
And this is Massachusetts. Not Texas.
No, it's not.
High school football. So you're saying that about Massachusetts high school football.
It's better than upstate New York football. I'll say that much. But I think that there's a difference in perception on these leagues. With the NFL, they are the empire. Like, people do look at them as a top-tier league because they are. But there, with that comes, like, the corruption of the NFL.
But every league has corruption.
Not like the NFL.
I feel like football doesn't – there's not, at least openly, that fans don't have that open spiritual connection to football that they do with other sports. I do. I am all about just the game of football itself. Well, I can watch highlight tapes. I was telling you off the air. Mm-hmm. I've been watching tape on guys in the draft.
You're an All-22
just because I enjoy it. Love the All-22. It makes sense to me. And look, there's some people, and I get it. If football's not your sport, it's not your sport. But, you know, the people who can sit there and talk about, you know, for 5 minutes why you throw a curveball on a 2-1 count to the number two hitter in the seventh inning, and I've heard people have that conversation. The people who can talk about, you know, the different kind of zone defenses in hockey, the people who want to go into the sabermetrics of basketball and PER and offensive rating and defensive rating and can go in on that. Can't that fan – why is that fan not allowed to exist in football? Because it does. We do exist. I'm right here. It exists. But I feel like it has a negative connotation for football with a positive connotation with the other sports.
Okay, so let's go through these leagues. The NBA, I think they dominate a lot of culture. Just NBA culture is ingrained in a lot of things, including like music and entertainment. It's a big part of pop culture. The MLB, it's quirky. It's weird. People don't look at them as a front runner, so there's no animosity towards it. There's no judgment.
I think there's total animosity towards baseball. It's boring. It's slow.
In that sense, but not – not in a condescending type of way. I feel like it's different. It's
anytime
not like
somebody
upon.
Hits 30 more home runs in a season, the steroid birds come out.
That's true.
I think there is. I think there's. If you look, there is. But okay.
And then hockey is kind of in the same vein. It's not. It's not a mainstream sport. There's a niche for it.
Hockey is. Look, you need the strong emotional connection to hockey. I'll give you that.
So with the NBA, I feel like it's not frowned upon just because it's so popular and people love it. And with that comes the snobs, the purists, who are just so over the top about their league. With the NFL, there is no condescension, I feel like. There's more judgment from other people over fans of the NFL and people who are involved with it, I'd say.
Right. I feel like you get judged saying that, oh, yeah, football is my favorite sport. I love the NFL. I feel like there's judgment
I don't think there's judgment over the fan. I think there's judgment over the league itself. And there's less of this blind defense of everything involved with the league. I think it's a good thing.
Let's go beyond the league. I mean, even with college football too, right? You hear people say, you know, identify, oh yeah, no, I like all sports. I'm a baseball guy. Oh, I'm a big hockey guy. I like all sports. You rarely hear people say I'm a football guy. I just feel like you don't, or girl, football girl is fine too. You know, hockey guy, hockey girl, whatever.
We're guys, so that's what we
right exactly. Yeah, but you know, I feel like there is some judgment if your main sport is football.
Yeah, no, I don't know, because I'm thinking about it. Most of my friends, maybe they aren't football guys. I can see that.
Maybe we're in the minority, but like people will talk about going on and watching these high school mixtapes for basketball, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that's like a huge thing. You go, you watch kids' high school mixtape. You watch college players. You watch their highlight tapes. People do that for years leading up to the draft. And then I say, oh, yeah, no, I'm watching some high school tape for the recruits coming in this year to college football, and that's why are you doing that?
So let me ask you this. What's the point? Do you, because it all starts with the NFL. They are the number one organization when it comes to football. Do you look at them as good or evil?
I look at the league itself as good. I do think there are for sure evil elements. I look at Roger Goodell as evil. The NFL is too broad of an umbrella, I think, to answer that question.
So in general, like, because you have to factor Goodell and the owners into that. Do you think the average fan, the average sports fan, not the average NFL fan, but sports fan
in
general.
So, but it's more than about the NFL, I guess. I didn't mean to make it about the NFL. It's more about football as a whole. I'll include the college football
fans
in here, too.
Isn't it all ingrained? Because concussions is a big part of the conversation, and the fact that it was swept under the rug, and that there's a whole painkiller epidemic.
Every sport has its issues, and look, I'm by no means saying that the NFL is perfect. I think that there's going to be a major issue when the CBA is up in 2020. College football has its problems. Look, the whole NCAA basketball scandal has me scared because I can only imagine what's going on with the football teams, mm-hmm. and that shoe's going to drop soon. So, look, it's not without its issues, absolutely not. But at the end of the day, if I'm home, if I have an afternoon off and I can watch any sport, I'm picking football. And I can watch football. I can sit on the couch for 16 hours and watch football. I've done it. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
And it's not something most people brag about, but I will. I know people who do it with baseball. I know people who do it with basketball. I know people who do it with hockey. Right? I know people who do it with lacrosse. Even lacrosse, I feel, soccer, right? Soccer, there's that whole soccer fan culture that they're so diehard into it. Yeah. Right. Look, I know there's a lacrosse culture out there. I feel like with football's just kind of people. I feel like the majority of football fans watch because they feel like they have to. Because it's okay, it's the NFL, it's college football, it's Saturday, Sunday in America, this is what we do, mm-hmm. right? And there's just kind of this begrudging, yeah, we'll watch. And if a good game breaks out, cool. I feel like it's not like that with any other sport. I will sit down and voluntarily watch football over any other sport.
They own a day of the week, yeah.
And I don't think that's something that's considered, you know, that's accepted by the other fan bases.
I think that's something.
And maybe it's because they're jealous because football is so much better and so much bigger than everybody else. But there is not that diehard. That football, like, okay, I'm going to throw a name out of somebody we both know, Jesse.
Yes.
Right? You know how Jesse is with hockey.
Yeah.
90% of the people listening to the show know who Jesse is. So I feel like I can use this to make the point.
You could also, but I feel like I know where you can look at, like, a guy like Sam or Connor.
With basketball, yes. Yeah. We need to make sure all these people in a segment.
Yeah.
That doesn't, and I try to be that guy with football. I feel like that guy doesn't exist with football. Maybe it's just the people I follow
I think
on Twitter.
I think they do. I just think it's less hard to be that guy in football because it is one day a week.
See,
Sunday.
I think it's harder because everybody's such a fair weather kind of pass it by fan mm-hmm. that when you actually do, you know, everybody thinks they know football. Everybody thinks they can talk football. But, you know, Brian, another person we know,
yeah.
right? Brian can talk baseball, and I know a lot of people who think they can talk baseball, but Brian will tell you about some prospect in single A that was drafted 3 years ago and be spot on. mm-hmm. right? And that's considered like in the baseball world, oh, wow, that's impressive. When I can tell you about the 120th recruit in this year's recruiting class going to college, it's like, why the hell do you know that? Right? That's not something that's like a major talking point where it is in baseball.
So it's easier. It's easier to be an informed casual fan in the NFL. I think that's both a benefit and a detriment to the NFL.
Let me ask you this to prove this point. You know who Zion Williams is, right?
Yeah.
Who's the top recruit college football?
I couldn't
exactly
tell you.
That's my point.
And Zion Williams isn't even the top recruit, I don't think, in basketball for high school.
But you know who Zion Williams is my point. You don't know who the NFL equivalent of Zion Williams is.
Yeah.
So in college basketball, careers are even shorter. College football matters more than college basketball, especially when it comes to the pro outlook on things. So, I don't know. I just feel like the football fan gets slighted.
And you're bringing up, we can get past this, but that's another point. Five players on the court for basketball each team. It's easier to stick out. Football, you don't have that. If you're the top defensive end in the country, most football fans won't know your name. So, I think it's apples and oranges.
I don't know. Jadeveon Clowney was pretty popular.
That's one guy, and they're obviously
You know, I don't know how many people know who Bradley Chubb is. He's going to be a top five pick.
Yeah, no, probably relatively no one.
Do you know?
He's defensive end.
Yeah.
Was he on Bama?
No.
Georgia?
No, NC State.
NC State.
NC State or South Carolina? He's in one of the Carolinas. See, even I don't remember.
Yeah.
All this draft work I've been doing.
I remember there was a running back on Georgia named Chubb.
Nick Chubb. So
I know that guy.
Bradley Chubb's the defender. They're both going to be drafted. But anyway, we went way over on that. There are a bunch of other things we wanted to talk about.
That was a good conversation.
That was one of the better segments we've done. I'm happy with that. More stuff next week. Actually, next week, unless something huge happens, all basketball next week.
Oh, yeah, conference tournament.
Selection Sunday is 6 days from today, so Lebowitz, study up Sunday night.
Can't wait.
We will have our brackets. We may do a call in at pool with some of our listeners, which will essentially just be our college pool, college friends pool. But, you know, I do know two or three people who are not college friends of ours who do listen every week. So you guys can get on that. We'll get Jonah, Josh. We're throwing names out. You know, feel free to join in with us as well. So Selection Sunday, Bracket Monday show next week. Mm-hmm. He is Alex Lebowitz. My name is Alex Barth. The show has been powered by CLNS. Follow them on Twitter at CLNS Media. Check them out, clnsmedia.com. Follow us on Twitter at Calling the Podcast. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.